This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the great prophet and messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, those who are attending here at Tayyumah and those who are online, assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all for your time and effort in being here. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who listen and pay attention to what they listen to and act upon what they listen to, in particular when it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. A gathering like this gathering is a gathering of worship. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through understanding Allah azza wa jal and the Messenger of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had connected his pleasure to the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, if you love Allah, follow me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happens here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will love you in return. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. On the top of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is connected through the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The pleasure of Allah is connected through the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The paradise and entering the paradise only through the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in order for us to acquire the pleasure of Allah, the love of Allah and the paradise of Allah, we need to follow the Messenger of Allah. In order for us to follow the Messenger of Allah, we need to understand the Messenger of Allah. And alhamdulillah, this is the primary purpose out of every Thursday night lesson that we hold here at Tayyumah, is for the primary purpose of us understanding the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the greatest man that ever tread this earth, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived for only 63 years. In reality, it wasn't 63 years. 63 years according to the lunar years. So according to the solar years, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived under 60 years. Just under 60 years. 63 years according to the lunar years. Out of the 63 years, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation and was a prophet only for 23 years. So his mission only 23 years. But what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam managed to achieve in 23 years surpasses any leader in any history, any prophet, any messenger, any Muslim or non-Muslim leader. What the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam achieved 23 years. So everything that we talk about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the achievements and the success of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all this took place in 23 years. What's 23 years? Nothing. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with these achievements and these successes. Why? Because he's the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Rationally, I'm telling you rationally, impossible for anyone to achieve what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam achieved 23 years. 23 years. Why? Because he's the Messenger of Allah. Why? Because he is following the path of Allah. Why? Because he was supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of them is the battle of Badr, which is not the first battle the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba had participated in, but the first, it's not the first battle, but the first largest battle. And we spoke about that last week. And it was a victorious moment for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with the victory of the battle of Badr. What happened in that battle? As we mentioned last week, 800 non-believers who fought against 313 believers. 800 non-Muslim fighters who fought against 313 Muslim fighters. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Not because of their numbers, not because they were experienced, not because they had more weapons, not because they were stronger. On the contrary, everything is towards the non-Muslims. They are a lot more experienced, bigger in their numbers, more weapons, stronger physically in what they have, but the other side has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam victory. And on the top of all this, and the primary reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also granted victory, in which we need to compare between the battle of Badr and the battle of Uhud. And that's Ibero, inshallah, we'll touch on today. But inshallah, we'll complete and finish off next week. In Ibero of Wahda, we're a lot more prepared. A lot more prepared, by far. A lot more prepared. They were close to home. They had a lot more weapons. They had a lot more soldiers. They had a lot more. But because they did not obey the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one way or another, they weren't victorious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi victory in the Battle of Badr. 70 of the non-believers were killed. 70 were captured as captives. And the rest fled, went back to Mecca. In the Battle of Badr, the vast majority of the chiefs and the leaders of the people of Quraysh, they participated and joined in the Battle of Badr and they were killed. Abu Jahl, Umayyah, Uqba, Utba, Rabi'a, these are the chiefs of the people of Quraysh. They were all in the Battle of Badr and they were all killed. So not only that the people of Quraysh lost severely, but they lost their heads. And that's why they were grieving for Abu. But that grief obviously started to overtake them. And people like them and their mindset, they used to consider themselves to be the chiefs of the Arabs. Quraysh is not a big tribe. There are many other tribes in the Arabian Peninsula which are a lot bigger than Quraysh. But because the people of Quraysh were the custodians of the Kaaba in Mecca, they were the chiefs of the Arabs. Arabs used to respect Quraysh. And they used to respect the leaders of Quraysh. And they used to take them as the leaders of the Arabs. So after their chiefs were killed in the Battle of Badr, they were grieving for about a year. But deep inside, there's hostility, there's hatred, there's grudge. They're not going to sit aside and just say, okay, that's it. 70 of our dead or 70 of our people were killed amongst them, our chiefs and leaders. You know what? Just let it pass. No. Obviously, the Battle of Badr was the reason why the people of Quraysh started to prepare for the Battle of Uhud. That took place just about a year after the Battle of Badr. So the Battle of Uhud was a battle of retaliation and avenging the dead of the people of Quraysh by the people of Quraysh. The Battle of Badr took place. Muslims were victorious. Non-Muslims, 70 of them were killed. 70 of them were captives. Their chiefs and leaders were killed. Within a year, the people of Quraysh were grieving and they were saddened and they were this and they were that. And now they are preparing themselves to go and avenge their dead by coming or marching out of Mecca to go and attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. That's in the Battle of Uhud. But what happened between the Battle of Badr and Battle of Uhud, which is about 1 year? Battle of Badr took place, Battle of Uhud, 1 year after it took place. And the reason of the Battle of Uhud was the people of Quraysh wanted to avenge their dead and retaliate against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the loss. In between, and that's what we're going to be focusing on tonight, a number of events took place. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his return from the Battle of Badr as victorious, and this is obviously the first mega big battle the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum participate in, and they fought against one of the most respected and powerful armies in the Arabian Peninsula. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum return back as what? Victorious. So what happens here? The reputation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to be strong. The reputation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the incline. His reputation was getting stronger and stronger, and people are holding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims with a lot of respect, which will pave the way for people either embrace Islam, and that's what happened, or at least, you know what, let's not tap into Muhammad and his people, leave him alone. So whoever intended to attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or harm the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba know that are thinking twice. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, they proved themselves. We can't be bullied. We stood up for ourselves and we even won against one of the most powerful armies in Arabian Peninsula. And obviously that was an overwhelming, happy and joyful moment for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, for them to crush and destroy the people of Quraysh in the Battle of Badr. Now, a number of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the return of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Battle of Badr to Medina. a number of prominent Sahaba who did not participate with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Battle of Badr came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam seeking the forgiveness of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for them not participating with him. Why didn't they participate with him? The respectful, genuine companions who genuinely did not participate with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, their excuse is, O Messenger of Allah, you did not oblige us to go out with you. And remember what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them? It's optional. We are not going to fight against the people of Quraysh. We are going to raid a caravan that belongs to the people of Quraysh. So a number of prominent Sahaba did not participate with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Battle of Badr. When the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned back to Medina from the Battle of Badr, a number of those prominent, genuine, respectful, honorable companions came and sat down with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seeking his forgiveness. O Messenger of Allah, forgive us for not participating with you. O Messenger of Allah, we're sorry we did not join you in this expedition. O Messenger of Allah, you didn't oblige us. O Messenger of Allah, we thought it was an optional. And keep that as a trend where whenever the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam orders the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum collectively to join him in an expedition, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to force the Sahaba to come out with him. The only ones who are allowed to stay behind are those with valid excuses. Valid excuses. Family, illness, issues, 1, 2, 3, but valid excuse. Then the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whenever he used to return back from any expedition, whether the Battle of Badr or any other expedition, the first thing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would do is, he'll summon those that did not participate with him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will summon those that did not participate with him and ask them, why didn't you join me? Now obviously, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi needs everyone to be on the same page. And I want you to reflect upon his leadership characteristic here. He's a leader. He needs to make sure that everyone's together. So whenever the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to go out on any expedition, he used to return back, the first day, so and so and so and so, all of you come here. Why didn't you come with me? What's your excuse? What's your reason? Now people had valid reasons and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to forgive them. But at one stage, those that did not have valid reasons and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to penalize them. Penalize them, not hit them or strike them. Isolate them, for example. Not speak to them for a number of days. Because it doesn't work that way. We are one ummah. We are one collective, united ummah. That when we need to do something together, we are all on board. You can't just, okay, one group of companions go out and fight, and the rest sit at home, relaxed with their family. It doesn't work that way. So even when the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned from the Battle of Badr, he had a number of companions who came to him, saw his forgiveness. But this time, there's an excuse. You told us it's an option. It's optional. And we thought that there's no need for us to go out. And we're talking about some prominent companions who did not participate with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, given that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was victorious in the Battle of Badr, and his reputation is being boosted, and in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's reputation is in the incline, and people now hearing about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had internal challenges in Medina. External challenges where the non-believers are fighting against the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in particular the people of Quraysh. But internally, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had challenges. Amongst the challenges that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, and I want you to understand this because this will give you a better understanding of the dynamics and the landscape that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was living in during his time. Amongst the challenges that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had is challenges within non-Muslims and challenges within Muslims. The challenges that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had with non-Muslims, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had non-believers, peaceful non-believers. They did not do anything to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nor the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did anything to them. Then the other challenge that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, he had Jewish tribes, non-Muslims, where some of them did agree with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or the first three Jewish tribes that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, upon his arrival to Medina and migration to Medina, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had signed a treaty between him and them. There were three Jewish tribes. Some of them were compliant and others weren't. The bigger challenge out of all from the non-Muslims was the munafiqeen, hypocrites. What's a munafiq? I know a typical word when you say munafiq is someone that says something to something else. In the Sharia, that's not a munafiq. In the Sharia, they call him two-faced. He says one thing, does something else. He says one thing to you, behind your back is something else. And we've got a lot of them. In the Muslim community and non-Muslim community, subhanAllah, it's by default they exist. But the munafiqeen during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the outside, we are Muslims. We love you, our messenger of Allah. We follow you. We're obedient to you. We'll do anything for you. But deep inside, they were completely non-Muslims and completely against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That was the category of munafiqeen. Show Islam from the outside. Show their support to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the outside. But deep inside, they were completely against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and against Allah and the believers and the Muslims. And they'll do anything to destroy the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the munafiqeen, they were led by Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul. Who's Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul? Before the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Medina, Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul was about to be the king of the people of Medina. But when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived to Medina, what happened? People turned away from Abdullah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Abdullah had it in for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This man, he stole me being a king amongst my people. But because of the pressure and his tribe with followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had to show his support to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But deep inside, 24/7 against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Even working with the people of Quraysh against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's the challenge amongst the non-Muslims. The challenge the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had amongst the Muslims are two challenges. One, Ansar and Muhajirin. Ansar are the original residents of the people of Medina. Muhajirin are the migrants. Yes, the brothers will take care of them, but from time to time the shaitan will come in and say, look at these people that are competing with you on your land, with your food, with your money. Like, these are outsiders that want to come and take our jobs and take our money and take this. It plays sometimes. And amongst the Ansar, they were divided into two tribes, Aws and Khazraj. Aws and Khazraj, before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to them, they were in war against each other for over 100 years. So that's another challenge that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had faced. And subhanAllah, it's the norm. It's the norm. And you know, speaking about that, sometimes you come across a brother, or even a sister, but I'll come across a brother, and I'll say to him, "Akhi, why aren't you coming to the masjid?" But like, Sheikh, you know, I don't want to come to the masjid. You know, you've got some people in the masjid in the front row that are a bunch of liars and they're a bunch of deceivers and they're a con artist, and I know what this person did. I'm not going to come to the masjid. Subhanallah, you're not going to come to the masjid because in the masjid that there's someone who's a liar and deceiver and this and that. He is maybe a liar and deceiver. What would you do if you were around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and next to you you've got someone who's a munafiq? What would you do if you're sitting in a gathering and towards your right, Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, deep inside, he hates Allah and the messenger of Allah by showing a face. I love Allah and the messenger. At least this brother, he's praying, he loves Allah and his messenger, but he's a bit crooked. He's a bit deviated, misguided. But at the end of the day, he's still a Muslim. So what would you do if you were during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? See, this is how, sometimes we don't think of it that way. How many times you come across people that want to go to the masjid because there's someone who's coming to the masjid who's a liar? Or he conned him. And maybe it's true. He is a liar and he's a con artist. Yes. But subhanAllah, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa didn't have it any better. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't think the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they looked around, you know, right and left, and they had ivra, righteous and pious. They had munafiqeen. The worst of people. Allah describes the munafiqeen fi darki al-asfali min al-nar. They're in the lowest bottom of the hellfire. So what would you do? Just imagine right now, sitting in a gathering, and you turn around and you know, this guy is one of those people that Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the lowest bottom of the hellfire. This guy shows you Islam from the outside, but deep inside, he's someone who hates Allah and his messenger. It's not easy. So don't think the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had it easy. Don't think Abu Bakr and Umar, Ibn al-Khattab and the rest of the Sahaba had it easy. No, man, I'm telling you, they didn't have it easy. They had it very hard, very challenging. So that's another challenge that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, is amongst the Muslims that were tribal. And that was one of the main challenges the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with people during his day and age. Tribal. Now alhamdulillah, us here, especially most of you are born and raised in Australia, tribalism doesn't even exist in your mind. Wallah, you don't even care less. You don't even care less if it's from your family or your tribe. You don't even know who's your tribe anyway. Some of us, he don't even know what tribe you even belong to. You only know your first name, lucky to know your second name. Arabs, at that time, and globally, of course, but Arabs, very, very tribal. When I say tribal, tribalism is a religion. You know how your religion is? I pray 5 times a day. My values are, I don't lie, I don't commit theft, I don't fornicate. My values are for me to stand for the Quran, for the Sunnah. This is your religion. Tribalism is a religion. I'll stand by my tribe member regardless if he does right or wrong. My tribe comes number one. I'll always stand by this tribe, whether they're in the right or the wrong. I'll fight for my tribe. It's a full-on religion. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a big challenge, which was tribalism. These people that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is surrounded by, and I'm talking about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were very tribal. These people who grew up in tribalism, and tribalism has been embedded in them for thousands of years. Their religion is tribalism, which means me, my ethnicity, my tribe, and my race, and my color, my skin comes above everyone. Even if my tribe member is wrong, and I know he's wrong, I'm still going to stand by him. That was their value. Yes, it's a wrong value, but that was their value. Where Islam came and said, no, you can't stand by your tribe member if they are doing something wrong. You have to stand against him. For the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to push that to these people, it's a struggle for them to understand it. It's a struggle for them to say, you know what? I'm an Arab. I'm from this big, massive, honorable tribe that people respect. Who's this black African for me to sit down with? Who's this non-Arab for me to even share a meal with? That's to them. Alhamdulillah, we don't have that. But to them, these are barriers that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to break him down. So that's a big challenge that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to face. And that's where Islam came to remove those barriers and change that mindset. It's not about tribalism. It's not about who's your tribe member and who you belong to. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a verse in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكْرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. We had created you from man and woman, male and female. And we made you from different tribes so you could recognize each other. Not for you to boast over your tribe and to make yourself better than other people. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us in different tribes so we could recognize each other. Muhammad the Lebanese, Muhammad the Saudi Arabian, Muhammad the Pakistani, to recognize each other. Not for you to start thinking you are superior over each other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That the most honorable one amongst you is the one that what? The Arab, non-Arab, the white, the black, the African, Asian, the rich, the poor. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable one to Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. Regardless, what's your gender? Regardless, what's your color of your skin? Regardless what tribe you belong to? Regardless what your ethnicity? Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most honorable one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. So much so that during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of the gatherings of the Sahaba, we're talking about Sahaba here, we're not talking about Wallahi John or Jack from Bankstown, or Muhammad or Abdul from Greenacre. We're talking about Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Companions who have been taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were sitting there in a gathering, and amongst those people in that gathering was Abu Dhar al-Ghafari, who comes from a respectful Arab tribe, and Bilal al-Habashi, who was an ex-slave from Africa that had no value to them. Not to us, to them. That's their mindset. And while they were sitting down in a gathering, and I'm not talking about the Sahaba to them, like the Arabs at that time, they had no respect except, you know, we are the people. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were sitting in a gathering, and they were discussing the warfares. They were discussing affairs of war, and what should they do in war, and what's the strategy of war. So Abu Dhar gave his opinion, and Bilal gave his opinion. Bilal was in the same gathering as respectful Arabs. Prior to Islam, Bilal will never sit down together and look. He's a slave, he's nobody, he's a low class. That's their mindset. But subhanAllah, Abu Dhar, there was that, he was ignited by tribalism, even though he's been in Islam for a very long time. So Abu Dhar gave his opinion, and then Bilal objects to the opinion of Abu Dhar. So Abu Dhar gives his opinion, then Bilal turns around and says, I don't agree with you. I suggest that 1, 2, 3, or 5. Abu Dhar didn't like it. Not only that someone opposes opinion, but this black African who opposed my opinion. Who does he think he is? So Abu Dhar, subhanAllah, got ignited. With what? with tribalism. And he said, even you, the son of the black woman, want to come and oppose me? Look at the language. Look at the mindset. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. But subhanAllah, and how long has Abu Dhar been Muslim for? Now 1 or 2 years. At that time, maybe 15, 16 years in Islam. Even you, the son of the black woman, you black African, you want to come and oppose me? I'm from the people of Ghafar. Allahu Akbar. I hear that sometimes I freak out. I get shaken when I hear this. Bilal was shocked. The rest of the Sahaba was shocked. So Bilal didn't even want to debate with Abu Dhar. He went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he complained to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shocked. I've been teaching you all along for you to free yourself from the slavery of tribalism and for you to think you are superior and better than someone who has a different color of your skin or someone who's a non-Arab. And now happens in my own masjid, in my own city, in my own presence. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and looked for Abu Dhar. And he summoned him. And who's Abu Dhar? Abu Dhar comes from Ghafar. Ghafar is a respectful tribe. Arabs fear that tribe. And Abu Dhar is one of their members. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summons Abu Dhar and tells him, is it true what I heard about you? That you said to Bilal, the son of the black woman, trying to degrade him or despise him? So Abu Dhar said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how dare you? You're a man, even after all these years, you still have the pre-Islamic ignorant day still in you. All these years I've been teaching you otherwise and you still have it embedded in you. What happened to you? Nabi Sallallahu was very frustrated. After all these years, I'm trying to free you away from the slavery of tribalism and thinking that you're above other people just because you're an Arab. And you still do that in my presence, in my own masjid, in my own city. And tamru'un fika jahiliyyah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him. He said, you're a man till this day have jahiliyyah in you. You still live the past when you should be freed from that past. So Abu Dhar radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew he did something wrong. And he did a severe wrong. A severe mistake. So he went and looked for Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And from far he saw Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu approaching him. When Bilal came nearby Abu Dhar put his head on the ground. He said, step on this head. Teach this man a lesson. That there's no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab. So Abu Dhar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to humble himself and apologize. But obviously Bilal is not going to get a step on him. He grabbed him, hugged him, and they apologized to each other. SubhanAllah. So we're talking about a challenge. Alhamdulillah, I have to say alhamdulillah, we don't have it. Sometimes among some people, they might have it. It ignites from time to time. But you're talking about a culture that's different to our culture right now. And that was a big challenge. So during the time of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and after the Battle of Badr, and after this great victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the Jewish leaders during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went happy about the victory of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims becoming empowered and strong. So one Jewish man by the name of Shas bin Qais, he's spoken to one young Jewish boy to go and ignite fitna. To go and ignite conflict amongst the Aus and Khazraj, who are the original two tribes that used to live in Medina and they were in fight and war and battle for over 100 years. And he told them, go to the Aus and remind the Aus of what the Khazraj did to some of their family members and how many of their family members were killed. And go to the Khazraj and tell them what the Aus had done in the last 100 years against their family members and how many family members were killed by them. And he did so. And you know what happened? It got heated. SubhanAllah. Even during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after this young Jewish boy went and ignited the fitna between the Aus and Khazraj by saying to them, oh, you are good friends with them. Did you forget what these people did to you? Did you forget who they killed? Did you forget that your father was murdered on their hands? Did you forget that your father was murdered? Did you forget that your brother was killed by them? Your grandfather, did you forget this and that? And you know, sometimes people are emotional. He ignited the fitna to the extent in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Allah azza wa jalla, through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Aus and Khazraj were united, they drew swords to fight against each other. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shocked. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered them and he went to their gathering. He went to a gathering where the Aws and Khazraj had already drawn their swords to fight against each other. You killed this and you killed that. You killed someone from my family and you killed someone from my family. And they were about to start hitting and attacking each other. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya ma'ashara muslimin. Allah, Allah. O Muslims. Allah, Allah. Remind you of Allah. You continue calling and you continue going back to the Jahiliyyah. And I am amongst you and I'm the messenger of Allah. And Allah had guided you through Islam. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave this jahiliyyah. Leave it. Free yourself from it. Free yourself from this rotten tribalism that you've embedded in your lives. Free yourself. Islam is beyond tribalism. Islam is beyond your race and the color of your skin and your ethnicity and your tribe and your wealth and your status in society. Islam is beyond that. You are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. So subhanAllah, you're talking about challenges where sometimes my brothers and sisters in Islam, I reflect and say that some people don't want to come to the masajid, they don't want to be part of gatherings because, oh, this Islamic organization does this. Look at this sheikh, what he did. Look at this person going to the masjid. I don't want to be there. What would you do if you're around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You won't even go into his masjid either. You think everything was lovey-dovey during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No, they weren't lovey-dovey during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wasn't a smooth ride. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jahiliyyah was still there. Aws and Khazraj, these are two prominent Muslim tribes who followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fought with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, embraced the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. They were about to hit and strike each other based on what? On Jahiliyyah. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Da'uha, leave it. Leave it. It is rotten. I came to free you from the slavery of tribalism." To become the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's something that you have to boast about. That's what you boast about. You boast about that you are the slave of Allah. Not the slave of your tribe. The color of your skin. Your race. Your wealth. The people you hang out with. You should be proud that you're a Muslim. You should be proud that you're a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which led to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam exiling the first Jewish tribe. So there were three Jewish tribes. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had arrived to Medina, there were three Jewish tribes. Bani Qaynuqa, Bani Nadr, and Bani Quraida. Bani Qaynuqa, Bani Nadr, and Bani Quraida, those three were the three Jewish tribes that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had agreed with on a peace treaty. You practice your religion, we practice ours. You do what you need to do, we do. Any attack on you is an attack on us. Any attack on us is an attack on you. We live in peace and respect. You practice your religion, we practice ours on no issues. But there's got to be a mutual respect. So what happened here? One Muslim woman went to the Jewish market of Bani Qaynuqa. They used to have markets. So she went to one of Banu Qaynuqa's market, the Jewish tribe. And she had her face covered. So one other Jewish man started to make mockery of her. Take it off, take it off. She refused. So she sat down while she was exchanging or dealing or transacting with one Jewish seller. So one other Jewish man, what did he do? He went and tied her garment from behind to her top. So when she stood up, what happened? Her backside was exposed. When she stood up and her backside was exposed, what did she do? She started to scream and shout. It's normal. She's a human being. She was embarrassed. And she was also humiliated. Because of this stupid act, she started to scream and shout. So another Muslim Arab that was in the market saw this. So what did he do? He struck and hit the one that did that to her. So what happened to him in return? The other guys, or the Jewish man that was killed by the Muslim or the Arab man, his tribe came and killed him. So what happened there? A war was about to ignite because of this incident. But who started it off? There's got to be a mutual respect here. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put Bani Qaynuqa under siege. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and besieged them. He went to their fortress. They used to have a fortress. They used to live in. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and besieged them. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put him under siege for a number of days. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you stay, you'll be killed or you leave. And Nabi sallallahu told him, out, exile them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the option for them to leave Medina freely. That was the first Jewish tribe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had exiled. And to make an example, not because they were Jews or anything else, these people breached their agreement with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In return, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam retaliated. The agreement between all the Jewish tribes and the non-Muslim tribes, so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's got to be a mutual respect. You practice your religion, we practice ours. An attack on you is an attack on us. An attack on us is an attack on you. But at the end of the day, this is what? A mutual respect. So that was the first Jewish tribe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had exiled. And who intervened in their protection? Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul. See, Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul had his own agenda. He had his own agenda. And he was an ally of Bani Qaynuqa. So he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and pressured the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the extent that he grabbed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from his shirt, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Leave me alone." And he said, "Oh Muhammad, these are my allies, these are my friends, don't do anything harmful to them. If you do this and that," and he was very abrupt to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "That are yours, tell them to leave now. Tell them to leave." He exiled them because they breached their agreement with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now these are months that took place. More events also took place between the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud, which is an exciting event that we want to talk about, the Battle of Uhud inshallah next week, talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, in that great battle, for us to learn and understand the importance of obeying Allah and the Messenger of Allah, regardless what are the consequences. And that's what Islam is about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and accept from you. Subhanaka Allahumma hamdak nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله خير أذان in half an hour so inshallah
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page, and if you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.